Unit 8. Listening and Grammar Focus. Activity 3.
I'm Tim Cole, and as an experienced travel writer, I'm here to tell you not to believe everything you read in guidebooks, because following some of the recommendations they give can result in the most bizarre situations. I'll never forget the night I arrived in Sydney, for example. I decided to check into a hotel recommended in my guidebook. My flight was late, and I turned up at the address at 1 a.m, exhausted and looking forward to a few hours' rest. But instead, found myself at a comedy club, which at the time I didn't find at all funny. It turns out the hotel had moved to what was a department store, according to my useless guidebook. The problem is that too many travellers are too trusting of their guidebooks and don't bother to research even the most basic facts before they set off. For example, many people don't think to check the publication date. Clearly, if this isn't within the last 12 months, you shouldn't buy it. Some guidebooks are only revised every couple of years, so it's no wonder the majority of guidebooks contain various inaccuracies and omissions. This doesn't tend to apply as much to museums or other places of cultural interest, as this kind of information doesn't vary that much, so guidebooks are generally pretty dependable on these. But what I'm always extremely wary of are recommendations on restaurant prices, which can often come as a nasty shock. This can be a real problem for people on a budget. It wouldn't be such a disaster if other kinds of information were wrong, about the food or the ambience, for example, but these tend to be more or less okay. Some people believe maps are now redundant in guidebooks because online versions are available. But I don't agree. Studying a real map is the best way to get to know a place. But some information, I think, is unnecessary. A special pet hate are those books which insist on including a multitude of photos. We already know what the Eiffel Tower looks like. Why not include more background information instead? Of course, most guidebooks are also now available in a digital format, and many travellers prefer using these because they're obviously not heavy to carry, so you can download as many as you like. But I avoid them, because navigation is much harder than flicking through the index at the back of a book. Life's just too short, and you can never guarantee you'll have internet access anyway. The only digital travel guide I'd consider using would have to be what you might describe as tailor-made, specially designed for my individual trip. Otherwise, I'm happy to stick with the traditional form of guidebook. However, on my trip to Hawaii last summer, I experimented with a new way of getting good travel advice, an app called In the Know. This relies on insider advice from locals who have cool and interesting lifestyles. In Hawaii, this didn't just include surfers. I actually got some really surprising tips from a sportswear designer. Without his advice, I'd never have visited the unique ukulele festival or eaten spam sushi. But the thing I'll never forget was a 10-kilometer kayak expedition along the coast for a nighttime swim with manta rays in a huge cave, a truly magnificent sight, and my top tip for anyone visiting Hawaii.